Want to make your opinion known on what's happening in Santa Fe? The Richard Eade Show is a call-in program covering the news, politics, business, and life in Santa Fe. The number to call is 424-4550. Only on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe. Streaming on SantaFe.com.
All right, good morning, Santa Fe. Happy Wednesday. If you're getting up, getting out and about, it's 61 degrees now in the state capitol. 30% chance of rain later today. So if you're heading out of the house, heading to work, you haven't already headed to work, take the umbrella along. Or if you're in the car, or if you're getting out of the car, heading into your job, take the umbrella in with you because there's about a 30% chance of rain later today. It's going to be a little bit windy, a little bit cooler today after some heavy rains overnight. And a little bit of flooding and some flash flood warnings overnight. So a good chance of rain later today and an excellent chance of rain throughout the remainder of the week. Right now, about 61 degrees, looking for a high of about 87 degrees here today in the capital. If you're heading down 25, Albuquerque will have a high of about 88 today. Also scattered showers, Las Cruces 93, and Carlsbad if you're going all the way down there to the caverns and maybe visit the bats. It's going to be about 96 degrees today in Carlsbad. Very happy today to have in studio with us Fred Nathan. Fred is the founder and executive director of a think tank, which is located here in Santa Fe. It's called Think New Mexico. Fred, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming by today.
Richard, thank you for having me on your show again. I really appreciate it.
Well, this is going to be, we've decided this is going to be a monthly thing because there are many issues that we agree, not necessarily on the solutions, but that are very, very important. And I think both of our goals are basically the goal of Think New Mexico and the goal of myself in this show is to make things better for people in Santa Fe and better in New Mexico. So we're going to make this a monthly segment.
You talked me into it.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. And we'll give you all the coffee. apparently, and I'm not happy about this, but apparently donuts are forbidden in the building.
You didn't tell me that when you said this would be a monthly gig.
Yeah. I'll smuggle in donuts if you want donuts.
Sounds good.
All right. So tell people a little bit about if people aren't familiar with Think New Mexico, what is Think New Mexico? How long has it been around? And I'm really impressed with the board of directors. So tell us a little bit about the background and what Think New Mexico is.
Okay, well, Think New Mexico is a results-oriented think tank serving New Mexicans. We've been around 15 years. We're celebrating our 15th year this year. And we're a little bit different than most of those think tanks that your listeners may be aware of. You know, most think tanks are either way, way over on the right or way, way over on the left.
Right.
And we just think in a state that's 49th or 50th in too many of these national rankings that the focus ought to be on solutions rather than ideology. And consistent with that, we have a board of directors made up of Republicans, Democrats, Independents. I'm a registered independent. And they are statesmen and stateswomen. For example, we have a former Republican governor, Gary Carruthers.
Yep. Now, president of New Mexico State.
Correct. And we have a former Democratic Attorney General, Paul Bardicke, who lives here in Santa Fe. Right. And I always get in trouble when I do this, Richard, because I start naming board members, and the one that I don't mention
is the one listening.
Correct.
Yeah.
But
it's the risk we run.
Yeah, it is the risk we run. But a few others that your listeners may be aware of, Roberta Cooper-Raymer. Ramo is the chairwoman of the board. She's a former first woman president of the American Bar Association. Clara Apodaca from used to run the Hispanic Cultural Center. Former first lady, correct. So it's a good group of statesmen and stateswomen who really at this point in their careers have no other agenda than to try to propel us forward on some of these things where we're 49th or 50th. And we're best known for getting a full-day kindergarten law through the legislature, making full-day kindergarten accessible to every child in New Mexico, repealing the tax on groceries, which some people want to bring back.
The tortilla tax.
The tortilla tax. And exactly right. Creating a strategic river reserve to keep a little bit of water in our rivers. We reformed title insurance to make it easier for people to close on a house and to refinance a mortgage. And one of the things we're going to talk about today is reforming the lottery and getting more dollars to the scholarships and less to the administrative overhead, which was quite high. And most recently, working on two other issues, reforming the PRC with the help of many of your listeners who voted for those constitutional amendments. Mm-hmm. We've changed the structure of the PRC and made it, I think, less powerful and more accountable. And this past year, we've been working on jobs, and we had a jobs package in this last legislative session.
And initially, we were going to talk about jobs today and economic development. And initially, I was also going to ask you about the PRC because it's been back in the news and maybe some of the qualifications. Maybe it's been watered down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Tim Keller coming out, who authored the legislation about the PRC. But we'll put that off. We'll talk about PRC and jobs next month, because this lottery issue and Think New Mexico. Our guest is Fred Nathan, the founder and executive director of Think New Mexico, a think tank based here in Santa Fe. The lottery came about, and Think New Mexico had a big hand in writing policy and how revenue was going to be divvied up and the scholarships and everything initially. So tell us a little bit about the background of Think New Mexico and the New Mexico lottery.
Okay, well, one clarification is the lottery started about 17 years ago, and we weren't around at the start, but we tried to fix it back in 2006 and made sure that more dollars were going to scholarships. So anyway, about 17 years ago, many, many states were moving in the direction of having a lottery. I think at the time, maybe about 42, and we were one of the last states to get a lottery, although there are a few holdouts, which I sort of admire. And the pressure was sort of on the legislature because our surrounding states had a lottery and people were going across the border and buying lottery tickets. And to their credit, the legislature, I think, was reluctant to pass a lottery because it really, in effect, Richard, is like a tax on low and middle income people. That's who plays.
It's very regressive in that it does affect mostly the poorest people.
Yeah, and full disclosure, if it were my decision alone to make, we wouldn't have a lottery in New Mexico.
That was going to be my first question. Yeah. Are you generally in favor of the idea of a lottery?
I am not.
Personally?
I am personally. Right. I would prefer that we didn't have a lottery.
Do you play the lottery if it gets up to the $200 to $300 million?
I can tell you, Richard, I have never bet a single dollar on the lottery, ever.
Have you ever visited a casino in New Mexico? Full disclosure.
I have, but I haven't played. I've been there for other reasons to go to political fundraisers.
Full disclosure, I stopped in, I think, Cities of Gold one time. I was coming back from Los Alamos. I needed to use the men's room. I used their men's room because it was really simple. I put a quarter in a slot machine.
How'd you do?
And I won two quarters, and I left. Oh. And I think that's the only money I've gambled in a casino in New Mexico.
Well, you're very unusual because you ended up ahead.
I did. Most, 200% ahead.
Yeah, and just so your listeners know, only about 50 to 55% of what they bet gets returned in prizes. So you'd be much better off investing, even those of you that are leery of the stock market, in the stock market. Yeah. I mean, the lottery is a loser's game. It's rigged against you.
No, I do play the lottery.
Yeah.
Just to be honest.
Yeah, okay. So in any event, they started this lottery, and to their credit, the legislators who passed that bill, I think, were very sensitive to the fact that it was regressive. And so they said the beneficiary of the lottery would be higher education.
Yes.
And a very wise thing in a poor state where people have trouble paying for college. Mm-hmm. And so that was Senator Michael Sanchez, Senator Tim Jennings, and Senator Stuart Ingle. And when it came in, it was a novelty. A lot of people were playing. It did very well. But not surprisingly, over time, the demand for the scholarships and the revenue outstripped what the lottery was bringing in. So in about 2004 or 5, there was discussion in the legislature of maybe cutting back the scholarships. The scholarships pay 100% of tuition. They don't pay all the other costs that students have, which people sometimes overlook. And so they were talking about maybe cutting it back to 50 to 75% of tuition. And we looked at it and compared how we were distributing revenue compared to other states and our overhead and our commissions, and said, we have a better idea. Rather than pulling the rug out from under these high school students who are studying hard on the assumption that if they get the grades, that they'll have the scholarship.
Right. Change the game. Yeah. Change the rules of the game. Right.
In the middle. That's exactly what was being proposed.
Right.
And so we said, look, the way the lottery was set up, when the money comes in, it doesn't go through the legislature. It goes to the lottery, and they have total autonomy on how to spend that money.
Right.
And what they were doing were no-bid contracts with their vendors. Their salaries were quite large. Their benefits were quite generous. And what was left over after they paid prizes and all of this overhead, that's what went to scholarships. And back then, it was about 22 cents on the dollar. And we're saying, wow, you know, that's a lot of money that gets, you know, siphoned off before we ever get to what the purpose of the lottery was when the legislature set this up.
Absolutely.
And so we said, what if we turn this pyramid over and do what 12 other states have done, which is they would take a set percentage and say, this goes to the beneficiaries. Lottery, you figure out what to do with the rest in terms of prizes and your administrative overhead. And many states were doing this at 30 or 35%.
Right.
Well, New Mexico's a small state.
We were at 22.
Yeah, we were at 22. So we passed a very simple law that basically said a minimum of 30% off the top will go to scholarships, and then you pay prizes, and then you do overhead. And that reform worked. You'll see in the succeeding years that the money that was going to scholarships increased on average by about $9 million a year. More than $50 million has gone to scholarships now because of that law. And this is what brings us to this new proposal from the new executive director of the lottery, which is, why don't we get rid of the 30% and spend more on prizes? And in that way, his argument is, we'll grow the pie. And we've come back and said, well, our administrative costs are still comparatively high. You've been able to make the 30%. In fact, they've been going a little bit over the 30% after screaming bloody murder when we came in with that proposal that they couldn't possibly make the 30% minimum requirement and pay prizes and do administrative overhead. Well, they found that they could. And so we've suggested... rather, you know, if they want to increase the prizes, that's fine, but don't take it from the scholarship money. We should be trying to maximize the scholarship money. Take it from the commissions that they pay. So every time you go into a retailer to buy a lottery ticket, the retailer makes 6.5% on every dollar. And that's relatively high when you look across the country. And if you look at retailers, their profit margins generally aren't that high on anything else in the store.
All right, we're talking to Fred Nathan. He's the founder, executive director of Think New Mexico, about a proposal to restructure the lottery, the state lottery, where the money goes, how much of the money goes to whom, and how much goes to scholarships. Fred Nathan is our guest. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, if you have an idea, if you like the lottery, if you think it is regressive and you don't like the lottery, 424-4550 if you have a comment, maybe a better suggestion than we have. 20 minutes after 8 o'clock, 61 degrees in Santa Fe, looking for a high of about 87 degrees today, 30% chance of rain, 30% tomorrow, and a high of about 88 degrees tomorrow, which will be the first day of the International Folk Art Market. Right now, it's 20 minutes after 8. We'll be right back. We stream at santafe.com.
Don't have time to take care of your MVD business during the week? No problem. MVD Express is also open from 9 to 3 every Saturday. You'll get in, get done, and get going only at the Big Green Sign. And if you need to re-register your car, why not skip the trip? Simply call 505-323-0408, and a friendly MVD Express phone operator will take care of everything. MVD Express, you deserve it.
We're coming right back to the Richard Eade Show on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe, streaming on santafe.com. Call 424-4550.
Hi, it's Ray Post of All Things Real Estate. Heard every Sunday for 2 hours, starting at noon, Mountain Time, on 1260 AM, 101.5 FM, and on ATREradio.com. We'll tackle important real estate issues and invite you to text us with your own questions at 505-989-8900 or email them to rpost@atreradio.com. So join us every Sunday at noon for All Things Real Estate, the best place for real estate news and commentary.
It's historical, it's unique, and it's not just shopping. It's an experience. It is referring to Sambusco Market Center. Sambusco is proud to announce that they have more of the best of Santa Fe winners under one roof than anyone else in town. At Sambusco, you'll find Santa Fe's most unique boutiques. The variety of stores feature everything from fine riding instruments, hair salons, shoes, clothing, and jewelry, to home furnishings, fishing gear, and pet accessories. The shops at Sambusco on Montezuma Avenue in Santa Fe.
Here comes the waitress.
Hi, everybody. Are you ready to order?
Oh, I love soap and beers. Oh, I love soap and beers. I love soap and beers and honey. Oh, I love soap and beers.
The Soapapia Factory in Pewaukee, next to the Pewaukee Market.
That's a lot of soapapias.
I love soapapias with honey.
Call for takeout, 455-2855.
Anyone else want that last one?
Who we are is the biggest teaching we do. This quote from a participant in our teacher renewal program is at the heart of all the Academy for the Love of Learning's work. We created our transformative programs to activate and sustain the natural love of learning in people of all ages. Find out more at a free evening of exploration on our beautiful campus in Santa Fe. Visit our website at aloveoflearning.org. Come learn with us.
At least one part of my day can be relied on. Ahori's coffee starts my day perfectly.
See, I want my closet back. Gotta keep them. Where are we gonna put them? Storage solution. Aztec Self-Storage off the 599 on Old Airport Road and Santa Fe Self-Storage on 3rd Street and Cerritos. The safe, secure, so you can relax storage solution. SantaFeSelfStorage.com. Oh.
This is the voice of Santa Fe. You're listening to the Richard Eads Show.
24 minutes after 8 o'clock, 61 degrees, looking for a high of 87. Our guest in studio is Fred Nathan, founder and executive director of Think New Mexico, a Santa Fe-based think tank, which does really nonpartisan, really bipartisan. They have board members from every party. Well, they have Republicans, Democrats, and do you have any Greens? Independents. Do you have any Greens? Do you have any Libertarians?
Not yet, but we do. You're registered independent.
Okay. But no Greens, no Libertarians.
Not yet.
All right. But you're open to Libertarians.
Sure.
How about Greens?
Sure.
How about Communists?
Sure. Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, they're a nonpartisan, bipartisan, multipartisan,
yes,
multipartisan think tank based here in Santa Fe that really is involved in many economic, political, social issues, and one that they took up a long time ago was the state lottery and how the money that flows into the state lottery is divvied up with scholarships and overhead for staff and money for prizes, etc. And so now there's a proposal to change that equation. Currently, it's 30% must go to lottery scholarships, which we were just talking. I thought there was. By the way, if you want to call in, if you have an idea, if you have thoughts about the lottery scholarships, please call us. I thought if you made over a certain amount of money that your kids were not qualified for a lottery scholarship, but you said, you know, Bill Gates's kids could get a lottery scholarship in New Mexico.
That's correct. There is not, we don't means test the scholarship. So anybody in New Mexico.
Who is a New Mexico resident.
Correct.
Graduates high school.
Correct.
You have to use it within 5 years or something like that of graduating high school, right?
Something like that. I think it might be three or one. I think it might be one.
Okay. Yeah. But, you know, and I had a friend who went back to school recently, and I said, well, let's apply for a lottery scholarship. But, of course, she wasn't because she's 33 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so there are some rules, but, you know, the wealth of the parents, it never comes into question.
The wealth
maybe
of the
it should.
I'd be open to that because, as we were saying earlier, the demand for these scholarships.
Right, there's too much demand.
There's a lot of demand, and it's outstripping what the lottery produces for the scholarships. We have an idea on that. First, maybe we should address that, which is what we probably should do. And I think the reason this proposal is coming from the lottery, and this was mentioned in the story in the Albuquerque Journal, was that the contract incentivizes the executive director, and I think the vendor contracts, which we're trying to get through an inspection of public records, is based on the revenues that the lottery brings in.
Right.
And what we really need to do is align the incentives with the mission of the program, which is scholarships. So they ought to be rewarded on the dollars that they're getting to the scholarship as opposed to simply sales. But to go back to your other question, the other part of that equation, which you're focused on, Richard, wisely, I think, is to look at the demand side.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, there's, as you point, no means testing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second aspect of it is you can qualify for a scholarship with just a C average.
Mm-hmm.
And many of those students are not graduating. They start out with the scholarship
and
then they drop out.
Right.
And some people, you know, so you've...
What if it became more like a loan? What if it became, if you go to Highlands or UNM or New Mexico State and on a lottery scholarship and you do not graduate, then it becomes a loan with like almost no interest, but you have to pay it back.
That's been suggested and hasn't gone anywhere in the legislature.
All right, so apparently it's a bad idea.
Well, just because it didn't go anywhere doesn't mean it's a bad idea. We've had many bad ideas that haven't gone anywhere that
and
we
some
still
that
think
have
are
passed.
Good ideas. Yeah.
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 What would you like to see? I mean, you are, and you've kind of taken up the cause on the other side of what the lottery, of what the executive director, Mr. Barden, is proposing. They change. And he says if we reduce the percentage from 30%, which is the law,
mm-hmm.
If we go to the legislature and get new legislation that reduces it from 30% of sales has to go to scholarships. Okay, that's his proposal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of on the other side of that. You would like to see it stay at 30%, be increased, stay at 30%, but overhead, I mean, your thing is really the overhead, needs to go down.
Correct. We need to reallocate those dollars to the scholarships and align the incentives at the lottery with maximizing dollars for the scholarship. So you're right. We've only focused on that side of the equation. If your question is about the other side of the equation, mm-hmm. I think some means testing makes sense. And I also think we ought to look at, because we can't, you know, we're running out of money, the demand continues to outstrip the resources. We also ought to look at those students who maybe haven't done so well in high school, and I'm sensitive to giving everybody access, but maybe if you're a C to a B minus student, that maybe it ought to pay for 2 years of community college, and then if you're successful there and you want to go, you graduate and you want to go on for a four-year degree,
mm-hmm.
that would make more sense than throwing money at kids that really... you know, aren't destined to graduate, but give everybody the opportunity to graduate by saying, okay, you know, if you have a C average, maybe you should go to community college first. The kids with B averages and above, send them to the four-year schools and see if we can, you know, because our graduation rates, I think our six-year graduation rate at our two flagship universities are hovering around 40%. And that's just not an effective use of these dollars. And so we've got to look at the back end of this and say,
Do you think one, that that would pass the legislature, and do you think that also that might get through the courts? Because there would be people arguing, saying, you know, that that's unconstitutional, that you're not providing equal access to education, that you're segregating, you're discriminating, that not because the schools offer completely different majors, that you're discriminating against a C student because he wants to be an engineering major. Mm-hmm. Community College, Santa Fe Community College, has no engineering program.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, well, no medical program.
Well, Richard, you asked me what I'd like to see.
What you'd like to see, not what
could pass necessarily. But I think, you know, if the dollars aren't there, they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to make some hard decisions.
We'll have to take another quick break here. We're talking with Fred Nathan, the founder and executive director of Think New Mexico. If you're concerned about education in New Mexico, if you're concerned about lottery scholarships, this program, give us a call. This is your community. This is your money, your tax dollars that support education, and your regressive tax dollars if you play the lottery. And I do. Fred doesn't. I do. Give us a call, 424-4550. But before we go to the break, and I forgot what I was going to ask you. So let me remember what I was going to ask you, and we'll get back to the conversation. If you want to be part of the conversation about this proposal to reconfigure the lottery scholarship program, give us a call, 424-4550. You can email me, richard@santafe.com. 32 minutes after the hour, we'll be joined tomorrow in the 8 o'clock hour in studio by State Senator Bill O'Neill. And we'll talk with Bill about Human Services Division, basically politics and poetry, because he's a poet. And that's tomorrow at 8 o'clock. 33 minutes after the hour, 61 degrees in Santa Fe. We'll be right back. We're on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe.
Crystal Springs Bottled Water is local, cares about the environment, gives back to its community, and keeps you healthy. Really, what more could you ask for?
The Richard Eade Show, live and taking your calls at 424-4550 on the voice of Santa Fe.
Texting while driving makes you 23 times more likely to be involved in a crash. 25% of teenage drivers respond to at least one text message every time they drive. Nearly one in five crashes in which someone was injured involved a distracted driver. The numbers don't lie. Don't be a statistic. Don't text, just drive. It's the law. This message brought to you by NMDOT.
Hi, I'm Cheryl from Connie's Neighborhood Market. We have the ingredients to make your opera tailgate the envy of all. Indulge yourself with basil and garlic gouda, wild forest mushroom pate, Parmesan cheese stuffed olives, and triple cream St. Angel is a must try. A little piece of heaven on earth. Finish your tailgate basket with one of our 500 bottles of wine or bubbly from around the world. You have a choice when you shop. You can go to a grocery store or you can go to Connie's. Follow us on Facebook, where weekly specials are always unique and fabulous.
In these economic times, it's more important than ever to do business with a local company that answers the phone when you call and listens. That's Hub International Insurance. Here's Emily Mascarenhas to tell you more.
I like building a relationship with my customers. I know I provided them with the best product available for their business. With our partner, Central Insurance, Hub does it all and does it right.
Call today, 982-4296, or visit santafe.com, keyword Hub, for more information. Hub International Insurance, giving you peace of mind. Give your whole family the best in health and fitness this year with a membership to El Gacho Fitness Women Racket Club. And now, in striving to always provide the best tools for achieving your goals, El Gacho brings the technology of TechnoGym to the facility, a world leader in the wellness and fitness field. Plus, the outdoor pool and poolside deli are now open for the summer. Stop by today for a tour. El Gacho Fitness Women Racket Club. Find out more at elgacho.com.
It's nuts not to neuter. Get your pit bull, pit mix, or mixed breed dog spayed or neutered for free. Keep your pet healthy and safe with a simple surgery and reduce animal overpopulation. The Santa Fe Animal Shelter's Spay-Neuter Clinic offers free and affordable spaying and neutering for all animals, along with walk-in vaccination clinics Tuesday afternoons and Fridays. Book your best friend's appointment now at 474-6422.
What's up, Eric?
Hey, Jeff. What have you got for us today?
Did you realize that we are celebrating our 15th anniversary in business?
That's right. We have been supplying paper printing, business cards, signs, vehicle decals, banners, embroidery, silk screening, and promotional items for Santa Fe businesses for the past 15 years.
You're right. A local company supporting other local companies.
Our goal of providing a one-stop shop for all your printing needs has made it easy for our customers to work with our highly trained staff in all three of our companies.
As we celebrate our 15th year of business, I wanted to personally thank each of our clients for not only supporting us, but for choosing to keep business here in Santa Fe. So when you think of Santa Fe Sports and Images, think of a local company helping other local companies keep our dollars at home.
We are Santa Fe Sports and Images, Signs and Images, Santa Fe Print and Images, and we're getting it done.
Do you know a 9th, 10th, or 11th grader who was born to lead? Do they have potential as a future leader in Santa Fe and beyond? Leadership Santa Fe, in conjunction with the Santa Fe Community College, is now taking applications for a Leadership and Civics program starting this fall. Students may qualify for one dual credit toward high school and college graduation and up to 3 college credits. 30 talented teens will explore their community, including a morning with the fire department, an evening pitching business ideas to entrepreneurs, and a ropes challenge course. Again, if your teen is entering 9th, 10th, or 11th grade and wants to earn 3 college credits between September 2014 and May of 2015, email info at leadershipsantafe.org for an application. Leadership Santa Fe is a program of the Santa Fe Chamber of Commerce and supported by platinum sponsor Los Alamos National Bank, gold sponsors Furry's Buick GMC, Beaver Toyota Scion, P&M Resources, J.D. Bullington Government Relations, and the Santa Fe New Mexican. Special thanks to Hutton Broadcasting, Santa Fe County, and Santa Fe Community College. Leadership Santa Fe, connecting and preparing leaders to shape the future of Santa Fe.
You're listening to the Richard Eade Show on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe. Streaming on SantaFe.com. Call 424-4550.
All right, 38 minutes after the hour, our guest in studio. If you'd like to talk about the lottery scholarships, it's big in the news right now. Our guest in studio is Fred Nathan, and Fred is the executive director of Think New Mexico, which played a big role in how lottery scholarships are divvied up. The fact that 30% of lottery sales must go to supporting lottery scholarships. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, 424-4550. Fred will join us every month. We have lots to talk about. PRC, jobs is always a great thing to talk about. So Fred will be here once a month to talk about some issue that's important to New Mexicans and people to here in Santa Fe. If any of this is important to you, 424-4550. I was going to ask you, this is the well, I was going to ask you right before the break, the timeline for when we reach the tipping point, when the lottery essentially becomes unable to pay for lottery scholarships. And you said, oh, we passed that a while back. You told me that during the break, and that we're actually taking money from some other taxes, from alcohol or something, to supplement the lottery scholarships. Instead of reducing overhead, reducing prizes, we're taking money. It's like, you know, robbing from Social Security to pay other bills.
That's correct. In the last legislative session, I think they passed a bill. I know they passed a bill, and I think they took some alcohol revenue to supplement what the lottery was bringing in for scholarships.
Another regressive tax to support this regressive tax.
Yes, very regressive.
What would okay, so the proposal from the lottery, from the executive director of the lottery, what's he make, by the way? What's his salary?
His salary is $145,000 a year.
And that's determined by?
Before bonuses. And the bonuses are based on the revenues that he brings in.
Sales.
And we'd like to
who's that determined by? The legislature, board of directors, himself?
They have a board. They have a board that's, I think, appointed. All those positions, I think, are appointed by the governor.
And good for how many years, do you remember?
I don't.
Sounds like one of those very plum governor-appointed kind of commission positions.
Yeah, I don't think the person that she appointed, David Barden, is not from New Mexico, so she's not rewarding. And I really think the lottery board found this person. My guess is the governor had never met him before.
Okay.
And that was their decision, not the governor's decision.
Came here from Alabama.
Yeah, one of those southern states. I think he also worked in Arkansas and maybe South Carolina.
Arkansas, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't have a banjo on his knee. didn't come from Alabama.
Right.
So he makes 145
before the bonus that he gets before based on sales.
Okay. Yes. Do you have a problem with the salary and the way that's structured and staff salaries? I assume the commission or the board is unpaid, an unpaid mm-hmm. position. They'd probably get per diem if they have to travel. How can we reduce? Essentially, okay, two things. How can we reduce overhead?
Yeah.
And also, you said that it's no bid contracts for vendors. Who are lottery vendors, printers, who works for the lottery?
Okay, they're companies.
Advertising agencies, I assume?
Oh, yeah, there's advertising, but there's also a lot of sort of mechanical, technological things that need to be done and online and so forth. And so they have a variety of vendors. When we passed the reform in 2006 to make sure that a minimum of 30% went to scholarships, mm-hmm. we also forbid them from doing no-bid contracts.
Okay.
And one vendor was getting like 8.2% of sales, and we were able to show the same vendor was in New Hampshire getting something like 2% of sales for the very same thing. Mm-hmm. So some costs have been brought down as a result of the 2006 reforms. But still, when you look at the percentage of lottery revenues that go to overhead, New Mexico is relatively high relative to other states. The other big expense, which is 6.5%, are these retailer commissions. These are the 7-Elevens that sell these tickets. Right. And
they get 6.5% off the top from the gross of sales of scratchers and Powerball and Mega Million, all that stuff. 6.5% gross off the top.
Exactly right.
Okay. What about winners? I always assume that if somebody won the $100 million Powerball payout in New Mexico, they only get about a third of that, right, after taxes, after federal and state taxes. I always assumed like the guy that owned the Circle K got like a whole bunch of money. He only gets like 10 grand or something like that, right?
That's correct. The retailers, in addition to the 6.5%, get some percentage of the prizes that are won from tickets that they've sold.
Okay, so it's not a fixed payout. It's a percentage payout.
Correct.
Of the winnings. Okay.
Yes.
All right. What are you proposing? First of all, what are they proposing, and what has to happen for any change to be made? I assume somebody would have to write legislation and propose that legislation in January in the next session.
Well, what we're proposing doesn't require any legislation, which is they simply reallocate some of this overhead and maybe perhaps some of the retailer commissions to more money for scholarships.
Okay.
And they don't need any they could do that tomorrow. What they want to do would require them to go to the legislature and say, remember that reform that you did that brought in an additional $50 million since 2006 for scholarships? Mm-hmm. We don't think that's a good idea. We think you should get rid of that requirement. I think they have a big uphill climb, but of course they've got also some high-paid lobbyists who, you know, are working for the vendors who will profit more if there's more lottery sales. So it'll be a fight. And so that's probably what will happen in January. And I hope your listeners, Richard, will go to our website at www.thinknewmexico.org. And we've got some pre-scripted letters that they can send to their legislators and the governor.
Mm-hmm.
They're free to edit those letters. In fact, I want to encourage them to do that because it's much better if those letters sound a little bit different.
So it's in a form that they could actually edit.
Right. And they can, and they don't even need to know who their legislators are. They just type in their address and the computer figures out who their legislators are. They press a button. They don't even have to buy stamps, and it goes to their legislators and it goes to their governor to say, no, we should be maximizing dollars for scholarships. And this 30% rule has been a good thing for our state.
How do we increase sales? I mean, what's the bottom line here? If the lottery scholarship is basically insolvent and they were stealing money from alcohol or some other tax, how do we increase sales to make all of this work better?
I'm not sure you really can increase sales that much. If you look at lotteries all across the country, what happens is they're a novelty for the first 10 years or so,
right.
And then sales start to plateau. And that's exactly what's happened in New Mexico. Now, in fairness, if the lottery were on the show, they would probably say, well, give us more money for advertising.
Right.
And I'm sure that that works to a degree. That might work.
What are other states do? Are other states capped like we have, or have that maximum or minimum? It's actually a minimum amount of money. 30% is the minimum that can go to scholarships. Other states do that. Other states stay solvent. How do they do it? There must be other people, other states we can steal from.
Well, the other states, first of all, it's only about 12 that have a mandatory minimum to go to the beneficiaries.
Okay.
And it's usually between 30 and 35%. We're mm-hmm. at 30% because we're a smaller state. We have less economies of scale.
Mm-hmm.
I think other states have beneficiaries where the demand isn't escalating for scholarships the way it is in New Mexico. So, for example, it might go for buying open space. And so if the money doesn't come in, they just buy less open space. We've set this up for the scholarships where it's open to all,
mm-hmm.
and it's increasingly popular, which is a good thing. We want people to go and get higher ed degrees.
Well, that may be a false assumption. Maybe we don't want more kids to go to college, and that's how we fix it. Basically, we ensure that more kids, because one of the requirements is you have to have a high school diploma or a GED, more right. kids drop out of high school, therefore the demand for scholarships goes down. That's how we fix it. I'm kidding, of course. 47 minutes after the hour, 63 degrees now in Santa Fe, looking for a high of 87. If you have an idea, and a much better idea than mine, give us a call, 424-4550. You can email me, richard@santafe.com. Our guest is Fred Nathan. He's the executive director of Think New Mexico. Once again, it's thinknewmexico.org, where you can find those letters. You can email a letter to the governor or to your legislator about the minimum, 30% minimum, that must go to the lottery scholarships. All right, 47 minutes after the hour. We'll be right back. We stream live at santafe.com. We're on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe.
It's been proven that Crystal Springs bottled water will improve your workplace environment. How, you ask? Because it's that good.
It's your opportunity to be heard. Call 424-4550 for the Richard Eads Show on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe. Streaming on santafe.com.
This is Roland from Joe's Dining. Come and enjoy our Sunday brunch. Some say it's the best in town. Come see why. joesdining.com.
Calling your pharmacy to be put on hold by a machine puts you on the corner of frustration and wasting time. Hi, I'm Tom Lovett from Nambe Drugs. Your time and that call is important. When you call Nambe Drugs, you get a real person every time, because personal service is the best medicine. Nambe Drugs offers free delivery to Santa Fe and Los Alamos. We value being your pharmacy. Call us at 455-2256.
Join Northern New Mexico College for the 7th Annual Sostenga Garlic Festival. July 12th from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Sostenga Farm, 1027 North Railroad Avenue. There will be live local music, information about traditional and sustainable eating, and fun and garlicky games for the whole family. Sign up your garlic picking team today. Cash prizes for the top three teams. Call 747-2256 for more information. That's 747-2256.
Collected Works is Santa Fe's oldest independent and locally owned bookstore, located on the corner of Galisteo and Water Street in downtown Santa Fe, just blocks from the historic plaza. Mark Nelson, author of Wastewater Gardener, Preserving the Planet One Flush at a Time, will be at the store on Thursday, July 10th at 6 p.m. Dr. Nelson will also appear at the Collected Works book table at the Santa Fe Farmers Market on Saturday, July 12th at 9 a.m. For more information about Collected Works Bookstore, visit cwbookstore.com.
Guess who's back? The juice joint is rocking again because Old Man Gloom's time is up.
Says you.
Hush, boy. I do say. No need to beat one's gums. Ankle all your bourgeois heebie-jeebies, anxieties, and troubled minds and give them to Zozobra. On Friday, August 29th, the Kiwanis Club brings you the annual burning of Will Schuster's Zozobra. Gates open 2 p.m. at the swanky Fort Marcy Park with some nifty entertainment starting shortly thereafter. Don't be a blue nose. Get dolled up in your glad rags and bring the whole family to enjoy the festivities before the opening Sockdology. Now you're on the trolley. 2014's burning of Will Schuster's Zobra is hitting on all sixes, Friday, August 29th, and how? Need tickets? Count your Jack and Rubes or find a dob and get a wiggle on to burnzozobra.com to stay on the up and up with Zozobra. Brought to you by The Real McCoy.
Hi, my name is Jordan Sky Paul, and I'm a Lakota and Mojave tribal member of the Colorado River Indian Tribes, working this summer with the public relations team on Santa Fe Indian Market. With so many incredible events to choose from during Market Week, between the live and silent auctions, over 1,000 Native artists participating in Indian Market Weekend, and so much more, I'm really looking forward to the Native Cinema Showcase and a special concert held on Thursday night. This year, in addition to celebrating the best showcase of Native American art, we're seeing some incredible expressions through film and music. Native DJs and filmmakers are sharing art through an inspiring hybrid of new media and cultural representation. Visit us at SantaFeIndianMarket.com and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Pinterest. We look forward to seeing you this August 18th through the 24th for Santa Fe Indian Market as we celebrate 93 years of bringing Native arts to the world.
An opinion, call 424-4550. This is the Richard Eade Show on the Voice of Santa Fe, KVSF 101.5, and streaming live on santafe.com. Call in and get it out there.
52 minutes after the hour, 63 degrees now in Santa Fe, looking for a high of 87, about a 30% chance of rain today. A little bit breezy out there today, but I'm guessing it'll blow some big black thunder clouds in later on today. Looking for a high of about 88 tomorrow and about a 30% chance of rain tomorrow. Our guest in studio is Fred Nathan, founder, executive director of Think New Mexico, thinknewmexico.org. We've been talking about this proposal to reduce the amount of money that goes to scholarships from the New Mexico State Lottery. And Fred's proposal is we keep that the same, keep it at 30% and reduce overhead. And not tie in the salary and the bonuses of the executive director of the lottery to sales, but to the amount of money that goes to scholarships. Have I got that right?
You got it exactly right, Richard.
Okay.
Good job.
What other proposals have you heard out there from other people, maybe people in the legislature, people you've talked to about how we can kind of tweak it without reducing the 30%? Maybe we've discussed means testing, other things.
Well, the other side is the demand side and how to reduce that, and means testing is one, and then more merit-based scholarships,
right,
where you say you have to have a higher GPA,
okay,
and a high school degree, and they've battled each other to a stalemate.
Okay. Where do you think this goes? Your best guess, how does this get resolved, and what role will Think New Mexico play? You're just kind of a lobbyist for your side of it, right? You don't mm-hmm. have any legislative input here other than your friends with Worth or Egoff or somebody have buy them lunch and try and convince them. I mean, you guys don't have any other real official role in this.
No, we'll try to persuade the legislature to stay with the 30%
right.
minimum requirement,
right,
and change the incentives so that they're more aligned with what the legislature wants, which is they want more dollars for scholarships too. I mean, on both sides of the aisle. So
then we don't have to take the money from wherever we're stealing it from, alcohol or somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think the real action will be on the other side, which is how do you tighten it up so that you reduce
right.
demand,
right,
and that'll be a fight between those people that want means testing and those people that want more merit-based. Probably what could pass, and I was talking to a legislator about this the other day, is some combination of both. You know, they're not mutually exclusive. And so
ultimately, who has the power here? Is it the governor? Who has the power? The legislature? Could somebody, whoever has the power, go to the existing executive director of the New Mexico State Lottery and say, tighten up your business plan?
The governor and her appointees could go to the lottery and say, you could run this more efficiently.
Right, right.
You don't need to spend so much on overhead, and you could allocate those dollars to scholarship. But in terms of the 30% requirement and some of these other things, means testing and so forth, that would take the legislature. Right. So, you know, we need a collaborative approach where where we get everybody around the table.
Well, that's probably the best approach, is to get everybody around the table, and rather than, you know, don't make the students pay for it. You know, don't put it on their back, because then it becomes even more regressive. You got the poor people buying the lottery tickets, and you got the students who just want an education getting screwed. If anybody gets screwed in this, it should be the people who actually get a salary.
Right, and we should...
Or lobbyists. Who are the lobbyists, by the way? Well, maybe I can put some pressure on them.
Well, I don't want to name any
names.
Come
on, who is it? Thompson, Rutherford, who we got here? Romero?
Well, Dan Najjar, I think, is one of them. But, you know, they're doing their jobs, and that's okay.
All right.
But, you know,
they pay taxes, too.
Yeah, but I hope we get the students when we get people around the table, if we ever do that.
Let's get some students.
You know, the students have been quite... good about being innovative, more innovative than us adults,
right,
about some of the things. And I'm trying to remember now some of the things that they suggested last session when they came up with this sort of sloppy fix involving alcohol taxes. Mm-hmm. But I think the students were saying, make the requirements a little bit harder on us. We're willing to sacrifice. Right. We're not looking for a handout.
Better GPA. Yes. You have to carry 14 hours instead of 12, or 15 hours instead of 12.
That's exactly right.
You have
right.
to graduate in 4 hours. You can't be a professional student anyway. I mean, there is a time limit, right?
Right.
You only have 4 or 5 years to do it. I think those are great.
So we should listen. You know, I would start by listening to the students.
Right. We can do more. That's great.
Yeah. So I'm optimistic that there's a solution out there. It's just finding that common ground that we struggle with so much in New Mexico.
All right. Well, if we can help, give us a holler.
You already have.
Okay. We've got about 2 minutes here. Other issues. I know the open primary thing, which is a great issue. The last time I talked to Sam Bregman, I brought it up with him. He said he was going to be talking to you. Did he? If not, I'll give him a call.
Sam did talk to me, and I'm trying to talk to the Republican Party chairman, so maybe you could help me with that as well, Richard.
All right.
But again, this is another area for some common ground that we should be getting independent voters voting in our primaries and invested in the outcomes of these elections.
Now, a state party chairman will tell you this is state politics, and therefore the party should decide. Is it government should decide, or is it up to the party in most states? The party decides who votes in their primary.
It's up to the parties, but the parties are having these elections paid for by all of us taxpayers, including those of us who are independents.
Good point.
And so maybe they should be paying attention to those of us who are paying the bills.
Yeah, and a lot. It costs a lot to hold a primary. Kids are now registering. I think 37% are registering as independents. More are registering as independents than as D's or R's.
And Richard, that's what's going to ultimately solve this issue, is that a plurality of young voters now are registering as independents.
Yeah, D's and R's will die.
Right.
And that'll decide it.
And sooner or later, they're going to have to listen to these young people, just like the lottery.
Right. Okay. We'll be back. We'll have you back every month. Next month, if nothing better comes up, we'll talk about jobs and maybe the PRC. PRC is a great topic.
Oh, yeah. We could talk about that every month.
It is the most dysfunctional, one of the most dysfunctional commissions agencies in the state of New Mexico in 102 years of statehood. It's fun to talk about the clowns in the PRC. And there are many. All right, Fred, thank you. Thanks for coming by.
Richard, thank you for having me.
And next time, I promise I will smuggle in donuts so we can have donuts and coffee.
That sounds great.
All right, Fred Nathan. All right, coming up after the top of the hour, we'll get you updated on all the local, statewide, national, international news, and, of course, the latest on the World Cup, which is the number one topic. When is the World Cup? When does Argentina play the Netherlands today? I'll find out. Coming up on 9 o'clock, we're streaming live right here at SantaFe.com. Yes, she got him, sir. Yes, she got him, sir. Hop to Molly in a red eye. Yes, she got him, sir.
Hop to Molly in a red eye. Yes, she got him. The voice of Santa Fe is KVSF FM 101.5 Pecos, Santa Fe. Streaming on SantaFe.com. It's time to talk. You're listening to The Richard Eade Show on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe, streaming on santafe.com. Call 424-4550.
All right, 6 minutes after the hour, 66 degrees now. Here in the state capitol, looking for a high of 87 degrees today, about a 30% chance of rain. Looking for a high of 88 tomorrow, also a 30% chance of rain tomorrow. And of course, tomorrow is the opening day of the International Folk Art Market, one of the premier events here in Santa Fe. Opens in the afternoon, evening at the Rail Yard. And it's open to the public. It's free. All the artists that come from all over the world, small villages, islands all over the world, these artists come, and then there's this big parade where they all come in and the people of Santa Fe greet them. And there's music and festivities. It's a great event. And so hopefully it won't rain tomorrow. It'll be dry and nice. It's a great event. And Hutton Broadcasting is the sponsor, so attend if you can. You'll enjoy it if you've never been there. It's a good time. One of the best things about doing radio is the people you get to meet, and hanging out, chatting with people like Fred Nathan is like the best benefit of working in radio. If you work in music, meeting musicians, meeting artists, and it's just the people you meet is the best part about doing radio. And Fred is one of these people in New Mexico who cares so much about the state, about the city of Santa Fe, about the issues, his kids, you know, his family, his wife, his kids, you know, he's plugged into the community. So what he does as part of Think New Mexico is not for personal gain. It is not to get rich. It's to help you have a better life here in New Mexico. So if you can, go to thinknewmexico.org, check out their website. There's lots of great information. If you care about issues, if you give a damn about your city, about education, about children or grandchildren, or, you know, the people you work with, if you actually care about life in New Mexico, Think New Mexico is a great organization, and their website is a great resource for the issues. And like I said, we'll have Fred on once a month to talk about these issues that impact you, about things like minimum wage, things like immigration, education, really important things that probably have a lot more impact on your life than you realize, and a day-to-day impact on your life. And it is issues like food tax. Like Fred said, they were instrumental in killing the tortilla tax. Would you prefer to be paying 7.5% every time you go to the grocery store? No, of course not. You know, our gross receipts tax is high enough, right? All our taxes are high enough. I bet you're happy. I bet you're very grateful that you don't pay tax every time you go to the grocery store. Well, it's people like Fred Nathan and Think New Mexico that freed you of that tax, that prevented the tortilla tax from coming back. So anyway, enough about that. But Fred's a great guy, and it's a great pleasure. And like I said, it's the best part of doing a job like this is meeting people and getting a chance to interact with people like Fred Nathan. Before the, as we ended up the, wound up the 7 o'clock hour, we were talking about marijuana and legalizing marijuana and how Washington had their first experience yesterday with legal weed and the two shops that are in the paper today that sold legal weed yesterday, we talked about yesterday. One is Top Shelf Cannabis in Bellingham. Of course, Bellingham is one of these beautiful communities outside of Seattle, college town, gorgeous area. And so Top Shelf Cannabis started selling weed at 8 o'clock. And then Cannabis City, which is the only legal weed shop right now in Seattle, talk about a monopoly, talk about a gold mine, they they started selling it. And we were joking yesterday that the owner, well, is actually the truth. He said, I know my customers. I'm not going to open up at 8. They're all stoners. I'm going to open up at noon. And I was wondering yesterday if maybe there were people camped out to be the first people to buy their legal weed. And in fact, there were people camped out since Monday. Of course, they were all like cozy in their sleeping bags in their tents because they're stoners. And they want, this is not medical marijuana. This is, you know, get high, have fun, recreational marijuana. So a gentleman by the name of Cale Holdsworth was the first stoner to buy his recreational weed in Bellingham. He bought 2 grams, cost him $26.50. And the first person at Cannabis City in Seattle was Deb Green, and she bought her weed, you know, probably at 12:01. Anyway, it's expensive and it's in short supply in Washington already. My point to this whole thing is what are we going to do in New Mexico? Should we legalize weed in New Mexico? And it came up as a constitutional amendment in the last legislative session. It will be resubmitted as a constitutional amendment in the next legislative session by Senator Jerry Ortiz Pino. I called him a lone wolf when he was on the show Monday, and he said he wasn't. He had actually many co-sponsors. So instead of a lone wolf, he's just the loudest howling wolf amongst the state senators. He's a good guy. And his point to this whole thing is, look, New Mexico, we're poor. We're just, you know, butt poor here. You know, we're dirt poor in New Mexico. And we don't have the resources to be housing people, incarcerating people who break the law for possession of marijuana. Not that we do a lot of it, but we need to legalize it, according to the senator, legalize it, tax it. And then the greatest idea is the revenues that we get from taxing legal marijuana we put into substance abuse, counseling, rehabilitation. We open up some actually good not-for-profit rehab facilities in New Mexico. Because we have an addiction problem, substance abuse, alcoholism problem, drug problems in New Mexico. So that's the best argument, and to decriminalize and then legalize. So what are other states doing? Alaska, marijuana legalization failed in Alaska in 2000 and 2004. But people who want to legalize in Alaska say the landscape is changing, and it's changing in every state because it is changing nationwide. So they are hopeful. They will probably try and get it licensed again. Adults could, if the marijuana is approved, adults could use marijuana legally, purchase it at state licensed stores, but use in public would still be illegal. Okay? So you could smoke at home. Oregon just recently, people in Oregon just submitted like over 100,000 signatures on petitions to legalize. So they are moving in that direction. According to the story in today's New Mexican, it says Oregonians rejected legalization just 2 years ago, but are all but certain to have a chance to reconsider come this November. It was the first state to decriminalize small-scale marijuana possession in 1973. Oregon was also among the first states to approve medical marijuana. Yeah, Oregon, very liberal, very progressive state, and they were pissed, to put it mildly, when Washington legalized ahead of them. They were like, dude, we wanted to be the first. So Oregon people are not happy. They will probably legalize in November. D.C., what will we do in the nation's capital? According to this, these little sidebars in today's New Mexican, the D.C. Cannabis Campaign says the group submitted 55,000 signatures for a legalization initiative 2 days ago on Monday. Last month, the Republican-controlled House federal government controls what happens in D.C., took a big step towards blocking a decriminalization bill passed by city lawmakers. Congress used a similar amendment to block the district from implementing its medical marijuana program for 10 years. So that's the, you know, that's the bad news in D.C. is you have Congress decides what's legal in the district. And, of course, Republicans' control of the House, you're not going to be able to decriminalize or have medical or, you know, let alone legalize. So that's the issue there. Now, there are reports that the DEA and the FDA are going to could reschedule marijuana from a Schedule 1, which would be a huge step on the federal level. Florida voters will be deciding whether to allow the drug for medicinal use. State lawmakers voted this year to legalize a strain of low-potency marijuana to treat epilepsy in cancer patients. Well, that's interesting. And, of course, a lot of marijuana, a lot of genetically engineered marijuana like that's going on in Denver with the growers up there. Geneticists up there are developing marijuana that does not get you high. It's modified. It's grown not to get you high, but do very specific medical things. So with all of the retirees, all of these snowbirds that live in Florida who are getting older and have aches and pains, and they're all, you know, liberals from New York, they should get that passed. They should change the laws in Florida. New York, what are they doing in New York? New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a bill last weekend, making his state the 23rd to allow medical marijuana, though his state will have one of the most restrictive programs in the country. So things are moving. Things are progressive here in New Mexico. It is a lot of people's feelings that the governor, because she's a former prosecutor, former DA, and a conservative Republican, would like to kill the medical marijuana program here in New Mexico, as she stated in her campaign, as she stated publicly, and though not trying to legally kill it through legislation to kill the medical marijuana program, a lot of people think she's trying to kill it by regulation and new regulation, new rules proposed by the Department of Health. So that's what's going on in the latest High Times news here on the Richard E. Show. 19 minutes after the hour, 66 degrees in the state capitol, looking for a high of 87, 88 tomorrow. This is a live call-in talk radio show. If you'd like to participate, comment about anything we've talked about today, wide open on anything from World Cup soccer to the lottery to High Times to marijuana. 424-4550. My email is richard@santafe.com. We stream at santafe.com. The show goes up on podcast right after the show at santafe.com. And we broadcast over your radio on the FM dial at 101.5 KVSF, the voice of Santa Fe.
MVD Express will go to you to do a VIN inspection on any vehicle or even a mobile home. They do on-site VINs for any business, car dealership, or individual. Call MVD Express today to find out more at 505-323-0408. And if you're tired of waiting for your vehicle registration sticker to come in the mail, wait no longer. MVD Express can issue your sticker on the spot. No worries if you don't have the paperwork, they can still help. Amvid Express, only at the Big Green Sign.
Keep it right here on Santa Fe's Talk Leader. We'll be right back on the Richard Eats Show on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe, and streaming live at santafe.com.
We got another email. Dear Del Norte Credit Union, my car loan is stalling out my budget. Can you help? You bet. Shift into a better rate with a Del Norte auto loan. Cruise into any branch and drive home with money-saving, affordable financing that'll make you smile. Not a member? Join today and add some vroom back into your budget. Del Norte Credit Union, improving the lives of others. Member NCUA, local and online at dncu.org.
When you're looking for wonderful food, live music, fresh air patio, and a great location, you're looking for Capital Grill on the south side.
Hey, it's Patrick with Capital Grill, inviting you to come check us out this summer. The patio is hopping with activity. We have begun our summer music series every Saturday, 7 to 10 on San Ysidro Plaza, with the Santa Fe Bandstand sponsoring four nights. So bring your friends, your family, and yourself, and we'll see you at the grill.
Meet your friends and listen to music or have a special dinner for two. Either way, Capital Grill is the place to meet, next to the Regal 14 Theaters.
The fuse is lit, so get to the Rock and win a blast of cash. Win your own blast of cash at Camel Rock Casino every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday through July 31st. Every half hour between 10 a.m. and 10 p.m., you could win free slot play or up to $500 in cash. See Players Club for complete details. Blast of Cash Hot Seats every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday through July 31st at Camel Rock Casino, just 10 minutes north of downtown Santa Fe. When you rock, you win.
Discover an environment that cultivates a sense of wonder and curiosity. Your friends at the Santa Fe Children's Museum know that play is the highest form of research, so they're all about discovery. You're invited to experience the Santa Fe Children's Museum, where family outings mean so much more, where children and parents are brought together in the spirit of challenging play. Play for the day, schedule a birthday party, or join the family with a Santa Fe Children's Museum membership. Discover more opportunities at santafechildrensmuseum.org.
It's hot. Sweltering hot. I can't seem to find the strength to move. Need water. I'm so thirsty I can barely see straight. How will I survive? Am I gonna die here? All I can think about is the last time I had that delicious, refreshing Crystal Springs water. Oh, to feel that cool liquid on my parched lips. Just one glass. No, one sip. I'd give anything. And now, here I am. Helpless. Alone. Dying of thirst.
Crystal Springs bottled water. Hey, Mr. Stevens. I've got your water delivery.
Oh, I didn't even realize I was out.
See you next week.
Crystal Springs bottled water. It's that good. For delivery, call 822-9089 or visit crystalh2o.com. And remember, the best water also makes the best coffee. So don't forget to ask about our coffee service.
Meet the world July 11th, 12th, and 13th at the International Folk Art Market Santa Fe on beautiful Museum Hill. Don't miss this global gathering featuring 150 master folk artists from 60 countries whose art includes jewelry, basketry, textiles, woodwork, metalwork, and ceramics representing thousands of years of cultural traditions. Get into the market spirit early at the free community celebration at the Santa Fe Rail Yard on Thursday, July 10th. The festivities begin at 5 o'clock. Welcome the artists to Santa Fe at the Artist Procession. Enjoy demonstrations from folk artists around the world. Bring the kids and stop by the children's booth for hands-on art-making activities. Grab dinner from one of the international food vendors and dance into the night to the beats of Colombian band Las Alegres Ambulancias. Special thanks to community celebration sponsors Barker Realty, SantaFe.com, and Whole Foods Market. For a full schedule of events, visit folkartalliance.org.
This is the voice of Santa Fe. You're listening to The Richard Eads Show.
24 minutes after the hour, 66 degrees in Santa Fe. All right, spoiler alert, although everybody knows already that Germany just kicked the snot out of Brazil yesterday, which wasn't very nice considering the game was in Brazil in the World Cup, 7-1. It was 5-0 in the first 29 minutes, so it was a complete one-sided. It looked like Brazil wasn't even there to play defense. Germany went through them like, you know, hot knife through butter, through like Panzer, through Swiss cheese, whatever you want to say. It was just a shellacking. The game today, Netherlands and Argentina. I don't know why, but I'm taking Argentina. Not as a favorite. I just think they're going to win. And that is on ESPN Radio, 1400 on your AM dial at 2 o'clock. Also, in that vein, it set the World Cup match yesterday. Brazil, Germany set a one-day record in the most number of tweets and social media postings for one day sporting event ever. It was like 36.5 million tweets. And, of course, Brazil, one of the top nations in the world in terms of social media. They are crazy about social media in Brazil. I would imagine there was a lot of, like, frowny, unsmiley faces in social media yesterday in Brazil because they got their butts kicked. So, anyway, the game today is at 2 o'clock, and it will be, if you want to listen to it, either on your radio, 1400 on AM, or you can, of course, stream it live. If you're working, just put your buds in at santafe.com if you want to listen to Argentina and the Netherlands. In local news, if you had not heard, the police, Santa Fe Police Department, doing a fabulous job of cleaning up some of the losers off the streets of Santa Fe. They arrested this lady who later admitted to robbing a hotel, a Holiday Inn Express on Cerritos, in May. She said she was there because she needed money for a six-pack. She needed beer money. She went and she threatened the Holiday Inn Express clerk. She insinuated that she had a weapon and said, I'm not afraid to blast you. Sounded like she's blasted. And they have not arrested her accomplices yet, but she's now in jail, Amanda Humada, in Torrance County. So she's in jail. But if you, and Gino hadn't heard this story, so I'm going to repeat this story. If you hadn't heard this story, this is the best story ever. Best story in a long time. And it's not even about us. It's not so we're not the brunt of this joke, which is great, in New Mexico. It's Georgia and, you know, Oconee County, Georgia. So this guy got arrested in Oconee County, Georgia, in a Bell's food store, convenience store, and that's near Butler's Crossing in Oconee County, Georgia. He was arrested middle of the day, 99 degrees, okay, and humid because it's Georgia, in Bell's food store in Butler's Crossing. And his dog was in the car, and he got arrested because he left his dog in the car. Idiot. 99 degrees, humid, 123 degrees inside the car. When they broke in, got his dog out, they put in the handheld thermometer for evidence purposes, 123 inside the car. And so they arrested this guy. Not only was it 123 degrees in the car, Gino, but he had a can of gasoline in the car. You imagine the fumes, the evaporation and the fumes and the smell of gasoline. And it's lucky the dog was still alive. That's not the good part. The good part, that's all the bad part. The good part of this story, two good parts. One, it's not New Mexico. And two, is he said, but officer, his name is Wesley Mark Terrell. He's 60. He told the officer arresting him, the county sheriff, that he did not drive that car. So you can't arrest him for driving while intoxicated. The dog drove. He swears the dog drove him to the store. And why? Because they needed to buy corn. Why? I know. Why are you going to the store to buy corn? I mean, how hammered was this guy? I mean, it could have been me a while back. But, I mean, the guy was, anyway, so he swears. I hope there is some surveillance video proving his point. I hope there's video that shows the dog. I mean, there are a million YouTube videos out there of dogs driving and cats. I mean, how many years ago was Wences the driving cat on Saturday Night Live? That's like 25 years ago. So we know animals can drive, and they probably get better generation, litter to litter to litter. Anyway, he claims his dog drove him to the store and to buy corn. And I'm thinking he was just still making corn sour mash, and So anyway, so the dog drove, the dog locked himself in the car with the windows up and a can of gasoline. I think that's the best story I've seen in a long time. 30 minutes after the hour, 66, looking for a high of about 88, 30% chance of rain. Same for tomorrow, basically the same for the rest of the week, high in the mid to high 80s the rest of the week, and about a 20 to 30% chance of rain the rest of the week. We stream at santafe.com. This is the Richard Eade Show. That'd be me, and we're on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe.
Crystal Springs bottled water, you have to try it to like it. And oh, you'll like it because it's that good.
The Richard Eade Show live and taking your calls at 424-4550 on the voice of Santa Fe.
Good morning. I'm Bruce Galpert.
And I'm Suzanne Ortega Cisneros. We are the Galpert Ortega Group of Wells Fargo Advisors, and we want to thank you for joining us for today's edition of To Your Wealth.
Stocks are slightly higher shortly after the open. The Dow is up 19 points to 16,925. The S&P 500 is gaining 4 points to 1967. And the NASDAQ is advancing 11 points to 4,402. The major averages are modestly in positive territory ahead of this afternoon's release of the minutes from the Fed's June policy meeting. Investors will look for indications from the minutes on the central bank's outlook for interest rates and the economy. Attention is also on the start to second quarter earnings season. Current projections are for the S&P 500 earnings to rise 5% for the most recent period and sales to grow 3%, according to Bloomberg. Shares of Alcoa are up 4.2% to $15.47 after the aluminum maker posted profits above analyst projections. Bob Evans is gaining 0.6% to $50.06, even after the restaurant chain reduced its full-year outlook. All 10 sectors in the S&P 500 are up in today's sessions. Consumer discretionary, technology, and telecom are the best-performing groups. Comcast is rising 0.8% to $53.76, and Facebook is climbing 2% to $63.88. Breadth on the New York Stock Exchange is even on issues and 7-5 positive on volume. Treasuries are modestly lower in early trading. The benchmark 10-year notes are down 3/32 to yield 2.57%. This is Bruce Galpert, Senior Vice President, Investment Officer with Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC. Member SIPC. Treasuries are advancing before this week's auctions, totaling $61 billion in government issuance. The 10-year note is gaining 3/32 to yield 2.63%, and the 30-year bond is up 12/32 to yield 3.45%. This is Bruce Galpert, Senior Vice President, Investment Officer with Wells Fargo Advisors, LLC. Member SIPC.
Thanks for listening each weekday at 9:30 a.m. We're the Galpert Ortega Group of Wells Fargo Advisors.
Please visit us at our website, gogroupsantafe.com. And here's to your wealth.
The Great 28 at Marty Sanchez Links Day Santa Fe has been named one of Travel and Leisure Golf's top three big little courses in the United States. And now you're invited to Nine and Dine. All summer after 3 o'clock, enjoy a discounted rate off the regular greens fee and get dinner and a soft drink included. Choose from brats, chicken wraps, garden salads, and more. Call Marty Sanchez Links Day Santa Fe at 955-4400 to reserve your tee time or visit linksdaysantafe.com for more info.
This summer at the Downs, Dr. Pepper is giving you a chance to win a VIP experience to the Summer Concert Series. That's one lucky winner with tickets to two big concerts. Two great shows, one great prize. Acclaimed indie singer-songwriter Ray LaMontagne, August 5th, and country rocker Lyle Lovett, September 13th. Don't miss your chance to win Dr. Pepper's VIP experience for these two amazing concerts. See you this summer at the Downs. Enter to win at santafe.com, keyword Dr. Pepper, and look for Dr. Pepper at a store near you.
Give your whole family the best in health and fitness this year with a membership to El Gacho Fitness Women Racket Club. And now, in striving to always provide the best tools for achieving your goals, El Gacho brings the technology of TechnoGym to the facility, a world leader in the wellness and fitness field. Plus, the outdoor pool and poolside deli are now open for the summer. Stop by today for a tour. El Gacho Fitness Women Racket Club. Find out more at elgacho.com.
Feeling the heat this summer? How about a refreshing drink? Head on over to Pecos Trail Cafe and enjoy a refreshing sangria. Or how about some tacos paired with a cold Corona? Now we're talking. Pecos Trail Cafe is where the locals enjoy mariachi music every Friday night, experience the very best New Mexican home-cooked cuisine, and they offer a selection of Mexican beer, wine, and local draft beer. Pecos Trail Cafe, located on Old Pecos Trail in the Old Peppers Building.
You're listening to The Richard Eads Show on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe. Streaming on SantaFe.com. Call 424-4550.
66 degrees in Santa Fe, 30% chance of rain, only going to be about 88 degrees today. If you're heading south, if you had to go south on 25, Albuquerque looking for a high of about 88. Las Cruces, 93. And if you have to go all the way down to Carlsbad, they're going to have a high of 96 today, which is, you know, not bad for Carlsbad. It's typically about 10 degrees warmer than that. The story about the gentleman who was at the Butler's Corner crossing store to buy corn, I you know, it does raise many questions. His dog drove, according to him, his dog drove, locked himself in his car with a can of gasoline. But, you know, it does beg the question. He said they were there to buy corn. Was it corn on the cob? Canned corn? Cream corn? Corn cob pipe? Or corn whiskey? Wall Street, Dow Jones is up slightly. It's up about 30 points, 30.22. NASDAQ is up about 16 points, and the S&P is up very slightly, about 4.5 points. So Wall Street took a beating yesterday. Dow was down over like 115 points. So all the indices up today so far, the Dow is up about 30 points, and the other two are up slightly as well. 66 degrees in Santa Fe. Just to update you on two other stories, serious story out of Albuquerque. Some parents did leave their five-year-old in their car yesterday at Central and Eubank in front of the Home Depot. Left their little girl in the in their truck. She was there for over an hour in their pickup, and fortunately, police were able to extract her through the sliding windows into the bed. She's fine. She was taken to the hospital. She's dehydrated, and the parents were taken to jail. So if you do leave your kids, if you do leave your pets, if you do leave your grandparents in your vehicle unattended, you will go to jail. And by the way, if you see kids or pets or grandparents unattended in vehicles, it is now legal to rescue them by any means necessary. And I'm being dead serious here. You can break the window. You can do anything you need to do to get a dog, to get a cat out of a hot car in the middle of the summer. You will not be charged. You will not be sued. You will not be civilly responsible. You can do whatever means necessary, especially children, to get them out of a hot car. Now, in more legal trouble than they know what to do with are some Buddhist monks. If you hadn't heard this story, this is actually a story out of Albuquerque that went national. Once again, another huge black eye for the state of New Mexico. This was on Morning Edition on NPR Radio. Buddhist monks in Albuquerque, apparently slightly out of touch, did not know that there were such things as illegal, forbidden fireworks. And so Buddhist monks were arrested, are charged, not arrested, but are cited for having illegal, unauthorized fireworks. And their defense? We're Buddhist monks. That's their defense. We're Buddhist monks. We don't own a TV. We don't own a radio. And we don't read the newspaper. We have no idea there's such things as illegal fireworks. And of course, that's not an excuse. So they have been cited. And I don't, No word yet on if they could also be in trouble with the whatever the hierarchy is in the Buddhist monkery. So that Buddhists have to get it together just like everybody else. Jody McGinnis-Porter, the spokeswoman for the city of Santa Fe and the mayor's office, has resigned. She says she's been offered a position and she can't refuse it. It's a great opportunity, she says, that came to her. And so she has resigned her job with the city. She's done great work there. She was the spokesperson for Mayor Koss in the city and Mayor Javier Gonzalez. She said they worked great together, but she got an opportunity. And we all know if something comes along, she says it's in the private sector, something comes along that's better, you got to jump on it. It's a good job. So if you would like to apply, I don't know if it's posted on the city's website. Don't call and blame me if it's not posted, but it could be. The official title is Public Information / Multimedia Administrator. Pays well. It pays $75,000 a year, and I'm sure the city has excellent benefits. So if I was you and you're looking for a good gig in PR media, check the Santa Fe .whatever.gov, probably SantaFe.gov website. So best of luck to Jody Porter with her new gig. And she won't say what it is. She won't tell us, so we don't know what it is. Being tight-lipped about that, we don't know. Also in drought news for that does certainly impact anybody in the Southwest. We're getting some rain. By the way, I've been mistaken. I read last night these are not the monsoons. We're calling this bonus rain. The monsoons haven't started because of a high pressure area. Once the high pressure area becomes a low pressure area, then the monsoon rains will move in. But right now we're getting rains from the north and from the east, and not from the south, which are monsoons coming up from Mexico. This is just bonus. This is extra time. This is like when the 90 minutes is over and you get that bonus time. These are bonus rains. But we're happy to have them. And expecting more bonus rain today and tomorrow. But not having monsoons the last few years, being 8 to 10 years into this drought, and not having normal winter snowpack has caused some severe conditions on the Colorado and the lake that we all fly over. Everybody's flown over Lake Mead a million times going to Las Vegas. Lake Mead is going to reach a level that it has never reached. Not since the 1930s when Hoover Dam was built has the lake been this low. They're talking about, the white mineral rock bathtub ring that you see when you fly into Vegas and you fly over Lake Mead. That bathtub ring is going to reach a level of about 130 feet of bathtub ring this summer. So the Lake Mead is going to be drier than it's ever been. The last time the lake was full was in 1998. So it's been 16 years since the lake was full. It's been going down since 98 and will reach a level this year that it has not reached since Hoover Dam was built. And this is not good news. The Bureau of Reclamation, which runs Lake Mead, says that downstream the farmers and the Native Americans and Los Angeles and Phoenix will get full allocations of the water this year and next year. But obviously, it's not going to go on for much longer. 40 million people rely on Lake Mead. 40 million people live downstream from Lake Mead. So when it's getting this dangerously low as it is, as I said, it hasn't, the dropping level since the reservoir was last full in 1998. At just under 1,296 feet above sea level is how they measure it. What's the water level, the surface of the lake, how far it is above sea level not from the bottom of any given point in the lake. 1,296 feet above sea level has left as much as 130 feet of the bathtub ring. It's among one of the top tourist destinations of any federal property in the country. And we started going there. The Eads family started going there, I would imagine, in about 1956, when Las Vegas Strip had about three hotels on it. We would take our boat there and until Navajo was built. Great lake. Fantastic place to enjoy. And sad to hear, you know, that, you know, because of the drought, it is, you know, it's getting to a point. I would imagine launching a boat at Lake Mead has become a real challenge, and that a lot of the really cool, really neat little villages that are all around Lake Mead, where you can launch a boat and, you know, get supplies and all that kind of stuff. Really cool little places. I remember. I imagine some of them are out of business. And you know, they're having to, like, grade new boat ramps, like, every summer. So anyway, Lake Mead will be at its lowest point since Hoover Dam was built this summer. 46 minutes after the hour. That's my drought watch for the day. 66 degrees in Santa Fe, looking for a high of 87, and it will rain most likely here today and tomorrow. Drenching rains, flooding rains last night and early this morning here in Santa Fe. And should get some more rain continuing this week, which is fantastic. Bonus rain. 47 minutes after the hour, 66 degrees. Coming up at 10 o'clock is Collected Words by Collected Works Bookstore. They're coming up at 10 o'clock. We'll be back. We stream live here at SantaFe.com.
Crystal Springs Bottled Water is local, cares about the environment, gives back to its community, and keeps you healthy. Really, what more could you ask for?
It's your opportunity to be heard. Call 424-4550 for the Richard Eads Show on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe. Streaming on SantaFe.com.
Spring has surely sprung, and it's time to head down to the Cowgirls Patio to soak up some sunshine and some of our spring beer selections. Or try a legendary frozen margarita with a plate of our award-winning nachos. Meet your friends on the Cowgirl Patio for our daily happy hour starting at 3 p.m.
Calling your pharmacy to be put on hold by a machine puts you on the corner of frustration and wasting time. Hi, I'm Tom Lovett from Nambe Drugs. Your time and that call is important. When you call Nambe Drugs, you get a real person every time, because personal service is the best medicine. Nambe Drugs offers free delivery to Santa Fe and Los Alamos. We value being your pharmacy. Call us at 455-2256.
Collected Works is Santa Fe's oldest independent and locally owned bookstore, located on the corner of Galisteo and Water Street in downtown Santa Fe, just blocks from the historic plaza. One of Santa Fe's favorite authors, Jan Arrington Wolcott, will present her new thriller, Deathmark, on Tuesday, July 15th at 6 p.m. at Collected Works. She'll be introduced by fellow author Michael McGarrity for an evening of lively discussion. For more information about Collected Works Bookstore, visit cwbookstore.com.
It's historical, it's unique, and it's not just shopping. It's an experience. It is referring to Sambusco Market Center. Sambusco is proud to announce that they have more of the best of Santa Fe winners under one roof than anyone else in town. At Sambusco, you'll find Santa Fe's most unique boutiques. The variety of stores feature everything from fine riding instruments, hair salons, shoes, clothing, and jewelry, to home furnishings, fishing gear, and pet accessories. The shops at Sambusco on Montezuma Avenue in Santa Fe.
Desert Sun Builders delivers trusted, reliable results in a timely manner, specializing in construction, additions, kitchen and bath remodeling, window and door installation, restoration, and roofing. If you need a professional, experienced, and trusted general contractor, call 690-2348. Desert Sun Builders, from foundation to roof since 1980. A-plus rating on Angie's List, 690-2348.
Are you interested in learning more about how solar energy can help you, the environment, and save you money? Please join AM Energy for a solar seminar on July 19th from 10 to 12 at Constellation Home Electronics, located downtown. Topics about solar energy will be discussed with an opportunity for questions and answers afterward. Bring your power bill. You can even learn more about home automation and monitoring systems for your solar energy system. For more information, visit amenergysolar.com or constellationsantafe.com. AM Energy, official sponsors of The Sun.
This is Drew Richmond at Acceptance Capital Mortgage, NMLS 2225. If you've been declined or don't qualify for as much as you'd like to borrow because of anything having to do with your income, you should call us today. Our asset conversion loan lets you use money in the bank and investment accounts instead of current income. Self-employed borrowers and investors, this loan is for you. Acceptance Capital Mortgage, national resources, local service. Feel the service difference? Call 204-0683 or click acceptancecapitalnm.com.
Did you hear that? Hi, Stephen Etri of Stevens, a consignment gallery. We at Stevens have been listening, and we've embraced many of your suggestions. And now, as part of our superior customer service, Stevens has extended our hours of operation. We're now open daily 10 to 6 as one of the many ways we at Stevens are making shopping there more convenient. Whether you're looking to buy, sell, or consign, Stevens is there for you. 2701 Sirius Road. Now open daily, 10 to 6.
Have an opinion? Call 424-4550. This is the Richard Eads Show on the Voice of Santa Fe. KVSF 101.5 and streaming live on SantaFe.com. Call in and get it out there.
And my email for the show is richard@santafe.com. If you'd like to email me a comment, a criticism, an opinion, a suggestion, things you'd like to hear on the radio, maybe topics you'd like to hear on the show. Listen, we just started a month ago, so I'm open to anything, adding anything, any topics, any direction, any suggestions, open to anything. Richard@santafe.com. If you would like to promote, if you have a nonprofit, you'd like to promote it, or if you have a big event coming up, email me. I mean, you know, that's why we have people like the people coming in tomorrow from the International Folk Art, or the people that'll come in from Spanish Market. All you got to do is shoot me an email and we'll have you in. Talk about your event, your nonprofit. If you have a for-profit, maybe we'll do that. So just email me, richard@santafe.com. Very simple to do. The phone number, this is a live call-in show. If you ever want to call in and promote anything or express an opinion or yell at me, 424-4550. We do this show Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. It is a live call-in morning drive talk radio show for your very own city of Santa Fe. Talk about anything you want to talk about. We can talk about fishing, and we're going to very soon. We'll have in Jarrett from the fishing place. And in fact, the boss came in this morning. Gene, I don't know if you saw Hutton. He was in here this morning. He popped in. He stuck his head in. He goes, "Everything all right?" I go, "Yeah." He goes, "I'm going fishing. See ya. I'll tell you how it was."
I was wondering what type of shirt he was wearing.
Yeah.
It's a fisherman shirt.
Yeah. So, you know, and his excuse is he's taking a client fishing. So if you want to be like advertise here, I guess he could take you fishing. Anyway, that's how it works here. Advertise on the air, advertise on SantaFe.com, or don't, and just promote something. All right, once again, World Cup today, Netherlands, Argentina, 2 o'clock would be the, whatever they do, drop the puck, the tip-off, the kick-off, whatever that is they do in soccer. Netherlands, Argentina will be on 1400, our ESPN-affiliated radio station, which I listen to all the time. 1400 on your AM dial. If you want to listen, or you can listen to it streaming. If you're like at work, you could just put the buds in and pull it up on the computer at santafe.com. All right, a little bit of political news here real quick, because I love politics. And by the way, State Senator Bill O'Neill will be here tomorrow, 8 to 9. And Bill is super into politics. He's a state senator. He's really involved. He's really interested in things right now like redistricting. He's involved with that. And issues that are kind of real political, in the weeds kind of things. He's real upset with a lot of his colleagues in the state Senate. He feels that the three branches of government are much too waited for the governor right now, and he'd like to get some more power into the state Senate. He's very political. He is very into this human services division debacle with mental and behavioral health in New Mexico. So Bill will be in tomorrow, 8 to 9. He's also a poet. He writes poetry. He recites poetry. He does poetry slams. And he thinks we should have a state poet laureate. So we'll do politics and poetry with him tomorrow. Labor unions are getting involved in the campaign, not so much in the campaign for governor, but in the campaign to keep the state House of Representatives in Democratic hands. So two labor unions in being mainly, namely the AFSCME, which is Municipal Workers, and the American Federation of Teachers together have donated about $180,000 to a super PAC, Democratic super PAC called the Patriot Majority New Mexico. I hate the name, but whatever. And that money will be, apparently, according to Joe Monahan, Dave Contarino, former chief of staff for Governor Bill Richardson, and campaign for the, you know, campaign director, campaign manager for Bill's presidential run and reelection campaign, will be involved with the super PAC, as well as Amanda Cooper, who is very connected locally, politically, and is the daughter of Tom Udall. So Contarino and Cooper coming out of political retirement. And good to hear, if you're a Democrat, that Democrats are getting more involved and not ceding the state house to Republicans, which would put the governor in charge of basically both houses of the state legislature, because the Senate is already very conservative. So that is good news. In two kind of statewide local races, Stephanie Garcia Richard, of course, she is a Democrat out of Los Alamos. She has opposition in her run for reelection, but she is doing well. She's raised about $70,000. She has about $70,000 in the bank. Her Republican opponent, Jeffrey Rogers, has about $6,500 in the bank. So those reported filed last week with the Secretary of State's office. And down south in Berlin, Vicky Perea, the perennial candidate for treasurer and other state positions, she was appointed to represent District 50 by the governor. And so in her first chance at reelection, she's about $34,000 on hand. And her Democratic opponent, Matthew McQueen of Galisteo, out there in the Turquoise Trail, he's doing well. He's got almost $50,000 on hand. These are two of these statewide races that I mentioned earlier that are being targeted by this super PAC, and of course by the governor's PAC, and by Republicans, to 10 of the 70 House races that are up for re-election that could control, determine who's going to have control of the House. And of course, Republicans only need to pick up about 4 seats to have control of the House. It's all the time we have for today. We will be back bright and early, 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. We do this Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. You're always welcome to join us, listen in, and if you want to call in, 424-4550. Thank you, Gino. We'll see you tomorrow. Coming up next is Collected Words by Collected Works Bookstore. Have a great Wednesday, everybody. Have a lovely Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow. Yes, she got him a sale. Yes, she got him a sale.